I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think?
All right, everybody, another day, another dollar. Another one of my favorite episodes. Yes, I'm being biased. It's my own podcast. Of course, what if it did work? I'm tremendously proud and excited for my next guest. You know, I always talk about moving the needle, always putting Latinos on the stage. And what better place than on my stage? Nestor Gutierrez, the CEO of Rancho Express Lube Inc., embodies a passion for vehicles and customer satisfaction that has consistently fueled his career for over a decade. Purchasing his enterprise in 2020 after 8 years and more than 50,000 inspections, his dedication to preventive maintenance is unmatched. A lifelong car enthusiast, Nestor focuses on educating his customers about the value of preventative care for their vehicles. He firmly believes in making his services accessible, ensuring every customer receives a complimentary 30-point inspection when unsatisfied with their vehicle performance. Nestor is passionate and ensures that his clients' prized vehicles receive the perfect blend of expertise and integrity they deserve. Nestor is on a mission to help 200,000 drivers of all ages stay safe on the road at an affordable price by 2030. How's it going, brother?
Doing amazing, Omar. Thank you for having me on here.
So, background, man. How did this all start? When did Nestor realize he had a knack for customer service? Were you always interested in cars? Did you always want to be the car guy?
Honestly, I've always been surrounded by cars, but when I was little, in the early teenagers years, I used to help my dad. He's a diesel mechanic, farmer, and I wanted to be a salesman. That's kind of like what my dad told me, like, you know, you like sports cars. The only way you're going to be around them is like being a salesman. Like, he didn't believe, you know, like that was for me, you know? And I mean, I get it. Like, you know, as a parent, you know, like he didn't go to school himself. So obviously he believed in me, but he wanted to have me do big things. But he just kind of like kiddingly, he said that, you know, so we moved fast, you know, we get on to college. In college, I decided that I wanted to work on cars, mainly because I wanted to help my parents on that side where if a car went down or they needed repairs, I can help them out at least with that. That way they didn't have to spend that much money fixing them. That was my biggest purpose on that, you know. So when I started going to school for it, I found a job really close to the college I was going to. And it was one of those destinations, you know, like I had to do a detour. And I looked to my left and sure enough, you know, now hiring, I came in and I started as a lube technician, and I was bumped up to manager within a couple months. And it was just an opportunity I took care of. I honestly didn't like it at first because I was very introverted. I hated talking to people. Customer service was not my thing. I was more like the work on the cars, you know, but as I had that opportunity, I had to take advantage of it, and I had to make the best out of it. So I had to break that fear of talking to people. And it was mainly because I just didn't like the way I sounded. I thought my accent was really bad. I mean, it still is, but like, you know, that was my biggest fear at the beginning.
Your accent, brother, aren't you from, don't you live in Southern Cal?
I do live in Southern California, but I'm Mexican. I'm an immigrant. I immigrated to the United States at age eight. And it was like, obviously my English is getting a little better now, but it wasn't like this when I first started working here. You know, I still started a lot. And like,
dude, I've been to California plenty of times, man. That was just that little voice inside your head, dude. There's plenty of Mexicanos, plenty of Latinos there, man. That was just yourself saying, I sound bad. You know what? You went and you pushed past your comfort zone. You're getting better and better every single day. You and your family are living the American dream, man. They're living the dream. You never thought, look at that, man. You immigrated here and you're a CEO of a major company. Yeah. That's because you expanded your vision, man. You had big dreams. You had big goals. You overcame other people, other Mexicanos, Chicanos born there, or even people, you know, others that have been there generation after generation, man. You had the cards against you, and you overcame that. And with your father, the reason why he said sales is, as parents, we're only as good, you know, we do the best that we can. And those were his beliefs, because that's all his vision was.
Yeah,
he did the best with the tools that he could. But clearly he did something right, if you think about it. From there, from coming from Mexico to who you are now, you blew it up, man. You should have your own podcast, man. You should have your own show on, you know.
I am, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I am creating my own podcast. So I also created a conference I have yearly, and it's called the Infinite Growth Expo. And I am having the podcast called the Infinite Growth Playbook. So I'm excited for that. It's another new journey, you know. So I really want to share my story and bring in a lot of amazing guests like you do. And just want to take advantage of that, of the storytelling, you know.
Well, I know this guy that I grew up with. He did a TED Talk. He's Hispanic, overcame shyness, became a great sales guy, has a podcast, wrote two books. He'd love to be on your show. And then Wow. He would love to be a speaker in person to your conference.
Wow, man. We'll have to talk more about the guy. I'm really interested about that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Dude, I don't care if it's in Pueblo. I don't care if it's in Tijuana. I don't care if it's in Mazatlan. I don't care if it's in Canada. Sign me up, man. But yeah, clearly. So you went from that, man. You see that story. Everybody hears about those stories. Like, I used to be the janitor and I worked myself up to. You were patient, though, right? You worked your way up, right? You didn't say, oh, yeah. Man.
I did. And then, you know, like something I kind of like didn't really explain at the beginning. You already said, you know, everything was against me, you know, the odds. And at the beginning, like the people that were in charge, they were white, you know, so there was a lot of racism. They didn't like me. And no I way. Felt, I felt it. I felt it right away. I wasn't liked, and I was just here, you know, to make the best thing out of it. And I tried to win them over, and you know, still like I did my part. It got to the point where like I just got tired of it, and I'm like, I told my boss, I'm like, hey, I don't like it here. I'm just gonna put my 2-week notice, and I want to leave. At that moment, he was an absent owner, so he was never here. You know, so he believed everything that his staff told him, he believed everything, you know. So I told him, I'm like, hey, it's my word against theirs. They've been here longer. I just can tell you right now that I don't like the way I'm treated, and it's just unfair. But he started like trying to understand a little bit better about it. I told him the details. Next thing comes in early in the morning, fires them. I got a little bit of crazy, you know, the arguments, but he kept me, and he right there, he said that, you know, I see since the day you came in, I saw a lot of potential in you. So I'm going to keep you. I got rid of them. I don't work like that. I'm glad that you told me. I'm glad that you didn't keep it to yourself, because it's not right. Especially the way that, you know, they were being racist, you know, so that's not good. And like, really all props really go to him, because as the owner, he's the one that gave me all the opportunities that came my way. He saw something that obviously I wasn't seeing at the beginning. So everything got started with that, you know, like he always tried to help me. And I just took it to a whole different level when working here as an employee. Like I would be here, like even when I wasn't supposed to be here, I'll be here, you know, just getting work done, try to get the shop to be better. Because when he took over, it was really slow. He was trying to pick up a business that before it was really good, but when he got it, it was really bad. So it wasn't as good. So you know, we grew this thing from the ground up, you can say, pretty much. And he really appreciated the fact that I did all the little things no one had ever done for him, you know, so that went a long way.
Yeah, but think about that, man. Those guys that had to get fired, that you see, a lot of people have those preconceived notions. You know, oh, Mexican kid, he's lazy. Mexican kid just wants to come here, steal our job, take our benefits. But it's like they always have this misconception that how can they steal the job but not work and get all the benefits? You see, it's one or the other, but people say both. You know, what they didn't understand is, you know, quit judging people. Dude, your work ethic answered. Your work ethic. And you know what? You rewarded the boss. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you would have been gone. Not those other idiots.
Yeah.
Those other idiots would have kept on, and you know, they would have been telling everybody, oh, yeah, Nestor, that guy was a beaner. That guy, you know, typical Mexican, you know. All he wanted to do was hang out with his essays.
And then that's literally what would happen. You know, I would like hustle, like, you know, that's how my parents raised me, you know, hardworking. And I did everything, you know, like I cleaned it, did it all. And then they would go ahead and tell the owner, hey, you know, he's lazy. He shows up to work late. He's always doing this. He's always doing that. Yeah, they're the ones not doing anything. They were the ones smoking in the back. And like, it was just like that. That's like, I mean, if you like kind of like put that into perspective, like that just, it got to the point where like, I'm like, I'm over this. I'm tired of it. Like I would wake up and I would dread work, you know, like it was really draining my energy. So I'm glad I spoke up, you know, and like you say, you know, as an immigrant, sometimes like we don't want to speak up in certain scenarios for that reason, that we're scared, you know, of what can possibly happen. But I'm glad I did that.
But you see, an immigrant, but the thing is, life isn't fair, man.
Yeah.
And you didn't play victim. You weren't crying, oh, this sucks, man. You know, screw this. You just worked harder.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, you felt like, oh, this, you could have just quit. You didn't. Yeah. You kept on, man. You kept on. You had the strong work ethic from your father. Your parents clearly instilled that in you. And yeah, man, whenever I hear people say, oh, it's not fair, we need to do this, when it comes to politics, when it comes to, dude, since the beginning of time, man, life isn't fair. You know, some people will always have it easier than others. Screw it, man. Don't worry about what cards you had. Work with what you have, crush it, and then get better cards. And then crush it, and then get even better cards. That's the way to do it, man. But yeah, congratulations, Nestor.
Thank you.
You showed people, brother. Completely, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So from that to CEO, the Rancho Express Lube. Mm-hmm. Now that's completely West Coast. East Coast, it would be like what? Your competitors, it's what, similar to a Jiffy Lube?
Pretty much Jiffy Lube, yeah. Pretty much to an extent, because Jiffy Lube is pretty much like just oil changes. Over here, like, and that's how it was when I first started. But like when I took over, like I started implementing a lot of services that haven't been available to like quick loops before, you know. So and I do like all makes and models, and I'm talking about like exotics. We've done Bentleys, we've done all kinds of cars, you know, where sometimes Jiffy Lube, like they won't even do like a BMW
or a Mercedes. I'm not your customer or theirs. Drive electric, not because I'm woke or anything. I just love Elon Musk. Uh-huh. But yeah, when I did have, they always had like a list. Oh, dude, they would definitely not do a Porsche.
Yeah, definitely
or
not
a Hummer. It to them, it's, you know, your basic, you know, to them maybe Honda, a Saab, Toyota. The old school, maybe a Saab that's like pushing it, and that's because GM owned it. But everything else, so then you're sort of like here. I'll throw a West Coast thing. So you're like In-N-Out Burger. And pretty Jiffy much. Lube's McDonald's then, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
but what did you come up with the idea to start doing more, to expanding the products and to also cater to high-end vehicles? Because believe it or not, there's high-end vehicles everywhere. We can't say, oh, it's only in Southern Cal.
Yeah,
because everybody, there's high-end vehicles in friggin' Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first took over the business, I was focused on attracting more high-end vehicles. So then I'm like, how can I do so? And it's crazy, you know, the law of attraction, like me wanting so many like nice cars in the shop, like it started happening slowly, you know, and I took advantage of that. I started posting them. And then as other people would see that we did work on those cars, you know, more cars started coming in. So then it got to the point where like I had to get my technicians trained on all these cars, because a lot of the services that we weren't doing was because of we didn't have the tools. We didn't have the equipment. We didn't have the software to look at the repair manual. So that was a main problem, you know. So I'm like, hey, that's a problem that needs to get fixed. That's like, we shouldn't stop because of that. We're not going to take the easy route and be like Jiffy Lube, where we just do oil changes. I'm like, I want it to be as convenient as possible, where they can, if they come in for oil change and they need something else, like we take advantage of the fact that they're here. We help them out and then we get them back on the road, you know. So that I want to make it as convenient as possible. That was my main thing when I did that.
Now, how many locations?
I have one location right now, but the goal is to open up two more this year.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, I've been a million times to Southern Cal. My aunt still lives in Laguna Hills. Where's Rancho?
Rancho Cucamonga from Laguna is about like 35 to 40 miles, like you could say like north, like towards the mountains.
Oh, so away from LA then?
Away from LA, yeah, thankfully.
Well, you'd be doing a lot of free service, man.
Yeah, in LA, I wouldn't survive.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, man, that's impressive though, dude. Overall. Because what you did though, when it comes to branding, did you have to start marketing on social media? Did you have to start posting, hey, by the way, we don't just do Ford, GM, Toyota, you know, the basics? How did that process go?
So when I first got the business, once again, I was only 22, 23, I forget. But I mean, fairly young, I was that person that, you know, I knew how to work on the car. So all that marketing, all the other business stuff like was new to me. So I just started posting on Instagram, just like pictures and like just random posts. But then I noticed that it wasn't really creating any traffic. So then that's when I started like doing more research on what other people were doing. And I realized that they were posting like specials and talking about more of what they did. So I started doing the same thing. Like you said, you know, start talking about the fact that we do more services, not just oil changes. We do all makes and models. And now I've taken it to a whole different level where I do a lot of reels. So in those reels, I talk about information, how to do services, and just quick little tips. And that has been a game changer for my business, because no one else is doing that in my industry, at least in this part where I'm located, you know. And there's been a few companies that they try to do the same thing, but it's just like, it's not the same, you know. That's something like you can say that I really have to take advantage of it and keep doing more and more and more of that, because I'm really gaining more clientele on that side.
Yeah, but here, man, I'll let you know on a little secret. Mm-hmm. You're the only one doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. You see, I applaud you completely. One of the reasons why I'm like, man, she, you know, your agency, well, it's really our agency. I'm an alum. They're like, you have to have them. Dude, that's how I grew my business, was through social media, was through Instagram, was doing lives. I know you do lives. I've been on a couple. I've watched you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's how you gain. That's, you see, the power of social media. A lot of people just want to go on social media. And okay, I'll do the two things. One will be we're going to talk about like social media, Joe Bob, whoever, Nestor, Omar. Hey, you know what? Vote for Trump. Vote for Biden. This and that. Oh, I what do I love? What do I hate? I hate you. I hate the, you know, just posting nonsense, crap, pissing people off. You don't need to be political. Social media. Hey, we just want to see your kids. You know, fine and dandy. It's to connect. The way to sell is to connect. You're not going to use me if you hate me. So just connect with people and with business. This is what a lot of business people do. I'll say a make-believe, your competitor. We'll say Extreme Lube. Sounds like something in San Francisco, maybe, or Key West, but we'll call it Extreme Lube. Hey, we've been in business for 20 years. Use us. Dude, social media, when you want to advertise, show people who you are, what you do. Feed them information. A lot of times people are fearful. Oh, well, I can't show them how to fix an AC. Dude, if my AC breaks in my house, I'm not going to go to YouTube. Yeah, there's plenty of videos. I'm not going to do that. Usually the videos are from AC companies, and it's from successful AC companies. Yeah. They know nobody's going to do that. Mm-hmm. You give people. You don't live in scarcity. You live in abundance, and you give them information. Give them a compelling reason. Hey, why me? Why my business? But most businesses never post or rarely post. Say, hey, Tuesday special. They don't grow a following. They don't care. But you're doing that. So you're beating your competitor. I did that. I didn't do that for 20 years because social media wasn't around for that long. But that's what kept me going. That's what kept me growing. That's what, from one store to five stores, was that. I was the only smoothie. I own five Smoothie Kings. It's like we don't really compete with Jamba Juice because we're not in Cali. Mm. But that's how you do it.
Absolutely.
And you entertain. Mm-hmm. And none of these, well, I want everybody to know I'm Republican. Or, oh my gosh, I want everybody to know I'm a liberal. No, man. Put that nonsense away. The only party you are is the Green Party. You want people's money. And that's it. And you just do it on a continuous basis. Reels work, man. It was at the end before I retired from my businesses. But reels are a game changer, man. People will watch that. Heck, I watch your reels, man. That's how you do it. Because people are like on TikTok and on Instagram. They just want that. But man, you get traction and you get views. Yeah. If I had, I had a Boxer at one time. I had a Hummer at one time. If I saw your stuff and I saw your place, mm-hmm. I'd be like, one, I'm not going to get raped by, you know, Porsche for an oil change.
Yeah.
I know Jesus won't be able to. I know Jiffy Lube, but I'd be like, hey, you know what? I know Rancho would do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. Dude, you're growing the business and you're doing it in a fat and a smart way.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know that I'm so grateful that I was able to realize this just recently. Like, I really started doing this at the beginning of 2023. That's when I started noticing like other people's were really doing a lot of social media, a lot of reels. So I'm like, let me implement it. And like you said, you know, like I wasn't comfortable with speaking in front of the camera. So that was one of my excuses before. Like, I didn't want to do it, but I got to the point where I was kind of forced into that. Like, I forced myself. I signed a contract. We started doing content. I started seeing the return and I'm like, damn, content, you know, it's going great. I could keep doing it. So now, like you said, if for example, sometimes companies, they want more customers. So they think that by doing a discount, they're going to land a bunch of customers. And then sometimes they land the bad customers and then they're stuck with headaches. So I've noticed that what really worked on the reel is just giving information. And what happens when you give the information, people are going to ask for quotes. How much for that? How much for this? What about my car? And that's when like the tickets convert, you know? And then sometimes like, it's crazy because a lot of the reels that I make, they turn into high tickets just because of the questions. And not only that, you know, I'm in an industry that it's pretty burnt. Like everyone goes to an auto repair shop and they're like, you're crooks. Like, I don't believe anything my car needs. And I get it. You know, like it's in an industry that, you know, like people have been taken advantage of a lot of times. So when I show the customer that, you know, I'm not trying to sell you or like get over you. Like one-time purchase, that's no good for me. You know, like I want a long relationship. And I show that we're being honest. And that's why I've also implemented like a digital inspection where I can physically show them, hey, this is the reason, this is the explanation. That way they feel more comfortable, you know? So that has been a game changer.
Yeah, dude, here, I'll give you an example of social media. And I actually, it's funny because I did a reel for Instagram and Facebook on it. And it's the power of reels. I'm not necessarily a foodie, but if a restaurant does amazing reels, I'll go out of my way and I'll drive over there. And I've gone 30 miles away from where I'm at, where I live, for a pizza because their content was amazing. And there's this burger place in Miami, just opened up a couple of months ago, and they had to keep it simple. Stupid concept, like In-N-Out Burger, just burger, fry, drink, and that's it. Easy concept, but they have a line out the door. Is it because of the burger? No, it's because of the power of the reel, the power of social media. And what stops a lot of people too, there's two things. Oh, I'm going to look. No, really three things. One, I'm going to look stupid. I'm going to stutter. Who cares, man? You're not Grant Cardone. You're not Anthony Robbins. You're not any of these guys. Just throw it up there. Eventually, you'll get better and better. You know, yeah. When people ask me, why am I so good at this? Man, I've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. My podcast 3 years ago, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I got better at it. My reels, I got better. My public speaking, I got better. By doing it over and over. And that's what people need to do. Just throw the reel. Throw it. Who cares? Oh, but two, I don't want to look like I need the business. Hell, when you're taking that money to the bank, does the teller ever go, were you desperate? Did you do commercials? Did you do reels for this money? No, man. When you're paying the bills, who cares, right? Money's money. Those are the reasons why. Oh, and how about if somebody makes fun of me? The only people that make fun of you are like some idiot that lives at home still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, you said something very true. When you say, you know, like we always try to find the excuse to not do something. I remember that I shot a reel that I thought was pretty stupid. You know, I was like putting it away. I didn't think it was that good. So I put it out for like 2 months. And then I ran out of content. I was waiting on content from my team. And I had that one reel. I'm like, I'm just going to post it. Tell me why that reel till now, like it's still going viral and no ads, nothing. And I thought it was pretty stupid, but obviously people thought different. And that reel, I talked about how Bentley uses Volkswagen parts. And I was telling them how to get the part cheaper by doing certain things, and people share the hell out of that video. And it's like, damn. So when I saw that, I'm like, I gotta do more videos like this. So it was really good because you never know what reel is gonna go viral. And after it goes viral, obviously you can kind of like get an idea of what people liked and keep doing that, you know?
Of course. And sometimes too, man, just post it. Who cares how many likes, how many comments? Yep. You know what? People like, oh yeah, but I don't have the same likes and comments as like hot chicks. Oh dude, like I told you at the beginning of the podcast, life isn't fair.
Yeah.
You just focus on what you're doing, what your work is, and you keep on posting and you do it on a continuous basis, you'll get the following. You'll get business. Don't worry about Kim Kardashian has more views. Oh, my ex-girlfriend who's hot has more views. Who cares, man? Worry about your business and worry about your industry. Like what you said, no, none of your competitors do it. So do it, man. You know, none of my competitors, the Planet Smoothie, the Jamba Juices that were down here, the tropical smoothies, they weren't doing that, man. I was doing it and people were like, oh yeah, your competitors don't. And I'm like, yeah, I know they don't. I follow their social media religiously. I was watching their social media like some of these people watch their ex-girlfriend's content. So you see, congratulations, man. You mastered branding.
Thank you.
Promote. How many days do you reels or promote or throw something out there? Is every day that ends in Y, you know?
Yeah, every day. Like the more reps, the more business you get, you know, in the long run. At the end of the day, people, so I learned something, you know, people are going to buy from who they see on social media, you know? So if someone constantly sees your content, they might not like it, but when they need something like, oh, Rancho Express, you know, they always talk about this. Let me go check it out. And that's just the power of that.
That's the power. What you're doing is you're planting seeds.
Yeah.
Before social media, this is a crazy story. I used to either get in a blow up cup, an inflatable smoothie cup, or I would spin a sign for continuous days. Mm-hmm. Now, did those people come right away? No.
No.
But what you're doing is, oh, hey, you know what? I'm going to go over there. You're right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Rancho Express mm-hmm. next time. Because you place that thought in them. That's why billboards work. Yeah, they say they're expensive or it takes 20 times, 13 times to drive by it.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you're going to drive those 13, 14, 15 times. And yep. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? The Bentley needs an oil change. Do I want to pay $10,000? Well, I don't know how much. I know a Lambo is like $5,000 for $3,000 to $5,000. Do I want to pay that much for an oil change? Or do I want to go to Nestor's and go to Rancho and know that I get good quality?
Yep. And way better price.
Now that's something too, man. You're good at the referral game, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. I have a referral program for all my my clients, all my customers that come in. They get a credit. The person they refer gets a credit, and for my employees, the same thing. You know, that for any ticket they bring in, after a certain amount, they get a percentage of the ticket, and also for regular service, they also get their money. You know, so. I'm giving money to everyone that refers my business.
You know what? And you go the extra step. You go the extra mile. Nobody else is on that, man. You know that's it's all about customer service, right?
Everyone's out there doing the coupons, the exactly. $20 off, the $30 off. But that's just not the way to do it.
Nestor, you know what? That's no way to build a brand. Anyways, that's not your customer, because you know what happens when you don't have that discount anymore?
They're not showing up.
They don't show up. They're whores. They're only there because of the discount. A customer isn't there, oh, I'm only going to go on Tuesday. I'm only going to go on Friday because of the deal. That's when you discount yourself, like couponing like that, you're devaluing the product, you're devaluing the service, and you're devaluing who you are.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And yes, it's always about customer service. Here, man, here's a perfect example. You're in Southern Cal. You know what separates Magic Mountain, Six Flags, Knott's Berry Farm, and Anaheim, and Disneyland?
Just what is it?
Customer service.
Mm.
Not only do they go above and beyond, I've been to all three, by the way.
Okay.
One, Disneyland, I don't see people, sheriffs and all that, walking around with shotguns like at Magic Mountain. So, you know, that's always like a iffy. But yeah, dude, that's why people go to Vegas instead of gambling. There's gambling everywhere, every state, man. Yeah. When you overpromise, you overdeliver, and you make people feel special.
People are going to go. Yeah.
People are going to go, man. People don't go, oh, I'm going to wait for that discount at Disneyland. I'm going to wait for the discount at the Wynn or at Caesar's Palace. High-end places don't discount because they value themselves. It's a premium product. So If people want to pretend they're premium, then there's a disconnect when you're like, well, I give out discounts, coupons left and right.
Yeah. Just look at all the big brands, you know, like you don't see Gucci commercials. You don't see Louis Vuitton commercials on TV because that's not where their customers at. Their brand is so big that, you know, that they people know the what it's worth, you know. So it's just, that's the way I see it, you know.
No, dude, that's the same way. Man, yeah. Okay, Burberry throws like in a big bin and puts a big fire, burns all their excess inventory. And people, why don't they? Because they don't want to devalue their stuff.
Yeah.
Louis Vuitton, if somebody wanted to scam, went into the store and put a scratch and go, oh, can I get this at a discount? No. What they would do is they would take the scratched item, they would throw it away or whatever, they burn it, and they give you another one, pay full price. There's no discount outlets anywhere in this world that sells Louis Vuitton.
Yep.
You can't go to the Lambo store, a dealership, or Rolls Royce and go, so where's the rebate for these bad boys? I want one.
The rebates?
I want my cash back. Okay. can we negotiate maybe a $30,000 off?
Yep.
They'd laugh, man. They'd be like, this isn't Subaru, brother. This is the Nissan, man.
That's true, though.
So, man, you know what? You've evolved because when it comes to marketing and social media marketing and building a brand and all, dude, I had to learn through going to seminars and spending money. You didn't have to do any of that, man. You're a step ahead of everybody.
I've attended a lot of seminars, actually. A lot of conferences. I've invested a lot of money in personal development, but like,
I'm talking about besides GC.
Oh yeah.
That's what I meant, dude. Trust me, I know you're part of GC. You're part of 10X Stages, man.
Yeah, I'm a 10X business coach now too.
Look at that. So am I. So you see, that's why you need to invite me to your
conference, brother.
Man. Yeah, I'm a licensee.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll be happy to have you over here.
So Nestor, where do you envision what next? Where would you like to see not only Rancho Express, but what would you like to see? What's the vision for Nestor?
So I want to have at least 150 Rancho Express nationwide. I'm thinking about changing the name just so it fits, you know, nationwide. It's not like just like Rancho Express, like. I'm working on the name, but I want to make it a franchise. I want to make it a franchise, and I want to make it next maybe within the next 7 years. Just like you said, you know, where the automotive world's going, like everything's going like towards hybrid electric. So I feel like the value of the business will not be as high after 10 years, just because there won't be as many gasoline vehicles as there is right now. I mean, just if we look at the car count that comes in, like before, like just 5 years ago, like we would still get a lot of like cars like 1990s. Now, like I think the oldest car we get like it's probably like in the 2005, 2006. So we're getting newer cars, and a lot of people too. Like a lot of shops are closing down for the same reason that they don't even know how to do anything on a hybrid. So I stay up to date on that sense with my technicians. We service Teslas. We there's still services that you can still do, you know. But I just want to make an exit. And I want to focus more on the investing side in real estate. And that's my main vision. I want to have financial freedom.
Nestor, this is one thing I have to tell you, man. Not everybody's Gavin Newsom. So we're not going to be 100% electric. Maybe the governor of California thinks we're going that way. But dude, it's a niche. It'll never be the majority. I think you're safe. And, you know, unfortunately for Greta, you know, she can scream, how dare you? But overall, we'll always have combustion gas engines.
Yeah. People, I mean, nothing against Musk or anything, but I don't I don't really like electric vehicles just yet, because I see a lot of malfunction on some of them. And the only, I mean, obviously, there's always pros and cons. You know, in this case, it's like the fuel economy, like it saves you a lot of money. No longer have to pump gas. But then I just like, I like to hear that, you know, that gas pedal, like me personally, you know. So I don't see myself getting any hybrid or any Tesla anytime soon, just because of that fact. And I know some people are like that. Some people, you know, you said it, they have mixed feelings about it too. But I know it's not going to be completely out, but that's just the way I see it. Like, newer technology, even if it's not fully electric, like things are changing, you know. So the thing that's gonna hurt businesses like mine is that a lot of brands, like European especially, they're starting to void warranties if you don't take it to them. So for example, you buy a brand new BMW and they tell you, like, if you don't buy the services through them, like if anything happens to the car, the warranty is going to be void. So now that's going to hurt small businesses in that sense, where like you might not be able to even get those cars unless the people that bought the vehicle, they opt out. But like that's what I mean with that.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that. I also wanted to poke fun of the Gavin and the Greta.
You know, they've been saying this. I remember when I went to a conference in 2019. That by 2025, like all vehicles are gonna be at least hybrid. Like you look now, like it's not happening anytime really soon, man.
Dude, when I was a little boy, they kept on saying that we were gonna run out of gas by the time, you know, in a few years.
Yeah.
I was a little boy 45 years ago. I'm 50, and we're still running into gas one day, the ozone. You know. We were supposed to be all underwater by the time I was 50. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, things are just, it depends on who's donating the money. But dude, when any of these crazy things that people talk about, you and I will be both long gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but man, I would tell anybody that's in, And I knew the name Rancho Cucamonga because you guys have a minor league baseball team there. They do a lot of. They're like you. They're great at marketing. They've been known for their uniforms. They've been known for everything for like over 30 years now, 40 mm-hmm. years now.
Yeah,
and that's what you always have to do, man. There's plenty of competitors. There's plenty of everything. Everybody has competition. There's so much noise out there. You just have to be louder. You just have to be like, hey, I'm here. And people will find you, man. And dude, you've said it best. I know everybody at Nestor believes in also complimentary 30-point inspection for all vehicles, right?
Yep, that's true.
Dude, that's going above and beyond. That's going the extra mile. While most people have just like a tip jar, tips and do the absolute minimal.
Yeah.
You're doing other services for gratis and whatnot to show, hey, I mean business. I want it to be a win-win. Yeah. I want my company, I want Rancho Express to make money, and I want you to be satisfied. I want you, you're creating raving fans. When you create raving fans, that makes it easier to have loyalty. And also, man, if you have raving fans, you're going to be like, holy smokes, where do you get your oil change? Dude, have you heard of Nestor's place, Rancho Express? The place is outrageous, man. I always feel safe. I always feel like I'm not getting taken, because every time I go to the dealership, not only does it take forever, but then they're like, oh, by the way, we found out 10 different things that are out of warranty that we're going to have to fix. I just want you to know that. Before the car blows up, before it goes boom.
That's how it is, unfortunately.
But man, I'd love your story.
Thank you.
You've overcome. You came here You came here because your father saw, just like everybody else. Brother, you said you're an immigrant. None of us are indigenous. None of us are natives. Everybody came here from some time or another.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm always going to be considered, my kids are considered, they have a hyphen. They're Latinas. We're Hispanic.
Yeah.
And my family's been here since the 50s. So just embrace it, man. It just means that you're a little browner than me. But we're all Hispanic. You're hungry. And there's so many books out there that will tell you that we need immigrants. The reason why America's grown and grown at such a fast rate is because immigrants always bring innovation and hunger, hard work. Not hunger like with people, oh, I want to be fed for free. No, yeah. People are hungry, man. Your father was hungry. You were hungry to want more, to be more, to do more, to see more. So, hey, man, congratulations on all that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Omar.
So, Nestor, where in Southern Cal? Because believe it or not, I have a lot of listeners in California. I went to school in Louisiana. Nobody listens to me in Louisiana. But California, like what Tupac once said, they know how to party and they listen to me. So how do we find Rancho Express Loop?
On Instagram, you can find Rancho Express Loop Inc. That's our handle name. Same as TikTok. And we're located in Rancho Cucamonga in the Inland Empire. And my personal handle is the Nestor Gutierrez on all platforms.
Follow Nestor. I love his content. I watch his content. The man pretends he's shy. The man says, he does lives. Something everybody needs to do if you want to grow as a business, if you want to grow a following, just do lives. Be entertaining. Be informative.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Be like Nestor.
Thank you.
Well, Nestor, I have to ask you this question.
Go ahead.
What words of wisdom do you have for just the person that's sitting on their couch, the person that quit on themselves, the person that says just it is what it is, the person that thinks that they're unlucky, that life is unfair? What words do you have to motivate, to inspire, to get them off their asses and do something amazing?
You know, the way I look at things is like we only have one life, and you have to make every single day the best. And if you're not getting better by the day, don't expect any progress. So the way I see it, there's every second people are dying, you know, wishing that they had our opportunity. So if we take that for granted, that's disrespectful to other people. You know, so just think about your current situation and how much worse it can be, you know, and like for me, that's just the way I look at life. Like, no problem is big enough. And if it's not costing me my life, like I gotta keep pushing forward and I gotta like make things happen, you know, change generations.
Mic drop right there, man. Dude, I have to say, I was completely honored that 10X Ages wanted you to be on my podcast. I was honored that you wanted to be on and that you didn't mind having to reschedule.
Of course, man. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate every opportunity I get. So thank you.
And this is something you might not know, but I tell everybody that there's two things. One goal that I did to write my books was I wanted to change one person's life, then two people's life, and then just create a movement. Maybe I'm doing that. Maybe I'm not. The second thing is I want to eventually have seminars with all Hispanics, all Latinos, because I'm sure you've noticed this. Going to all these seminars that our people aren't there. They might be working it, but they're not in attendance. It's because they don't believe, they don't see. They need their visions expanded. Need to see that, yes, there are Latinos, there are Hispanics that are entrepreneurs. that are speakers, that do write books, that achieve great things, that are immigrants, that didn't have all the cards, but they overcame. And my goal is eventually you'll be on that stage, and plenty of them will be on that stage, and it'll be like, damn. And it, you know, white people, everybody, but it'll be something to showcase. We have arrived, and we're doing, we can, and we'll keep on doing amazing, massive things, man. And thank you. And thank you to your father, your parent, your family. And thank for, you're the epitome of what if it did work, because you keep on doing what you're doing and you keep on showing people, hey, look at me. It can work. And it's working just fine for you, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for the time. Thank you for the opportunity. And, man, I'm honored.
Hey, thank you.
Love you, brother. And I'll keep on watching all your material.
Thank you, brother. You take care. And very nice being on here as well.
All right, bro. Thanks. Take care, bro. What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.